Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. We're back. Season 2 of Triple Captain. I'm excited for it. 2020-21. Yes, here we are back for our first game week episode of the brand new season of the Premier League. And I don't think I've ever been more confused in my FPL life over who to have in my team. I don't know about yous too.
It's very tough. It's very tough times to pick that game week one squad. Just to remind everybody, we are Triple Captain. FPL Triple Captain, if you search that on your podcasts, you will find us. But obviously you have found us because you're listening.
Here we are.
we're at Triple Captain 3 on Twitter and Instagram. I am Luke Jurdy. I'm an FPL obsessed actor, most recently on Hollyoaks. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter, and my co-host is Mr. Rich Wolfenden.
Yes, hello. TalkSport commentator. So I thought I was going to get the team news in advance. I don't get that, sadly. But yeah, so TalkSport commentator, Radio X presenter. And as of this season, official Everton social media presenter. So I'm going to be doing a preview for every Everton game at Goodison Park in the Premier League. So hopefully I'll be able to get some behind the scenes gossip on who you should have in your Everton lineup if you're picking any Everton players, which I'm not. Sorry, Everton, if you're listening.
Great news, mate. Well done. Mate, you kept that one quiet until we started recording. I love it.
I know, yeah. It's been a bit. I've just been sent the we did a dry run of it, like a pilot against Preston in a pre-season friendly last weekend. And there's two cameras, only two cameras. And for the whole thing, I looked at the wrong camera, which I had to be talking down into. So you know, there's room for improvement on my performance there. But yeah, and as always...
Rich, just quickly though, sorry, you're about to introduce me then,
yeah,
weren't
I was,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Ben. All right, back to Rich's really cool news. I'm the producer, no one cares. Are you doing it? Is your co-host Leon Osman? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Is that every week?
No, so there's going to be different co-hosts every week. So there's going to be Leon Osman. There's going to be Tim Cahill. There's going to be Tony Bellew.
Sick. Mate, you've got to talk to all of them about FPL. I want to know who Tony Bellew's got up front.
I know, I'd love to know. I mean, I reckon they get like the fighting players in. He's got Mitrovic up front 100% in.
Yeah, everyone's a bruiser.
Yeah, I'll see if they can come on the podcast maybe. You know, if it goes well, that would be cool, wouldn't it? But yeah. That's cool. So anyway, yeah, you can see me on Everton's socials and stuff come this season, which should be pretty sick. But anyway, we're here to talk about FPL. So what exactly are we going to be talking about today then?
So final preview episode before the season starts. It's going to be very quick turnaround for Ben's edit. We're recording Thursday evening, hot off the press, pretty much ready for game week one. So we're going to do a brief rundown of all the new signings. Are any of them worth putting in your team? And we'll basically be revealing our 90-95% sure game week one drafts. And I will be, we'll be answering a couple of Twitter questions. We'll be answering a couple of Twitter questions, and we're going to do that first because we keep forgetting to answer the old Twitter questions. So we had a couple come in. So let's just start with them and go from there.
Cool.
We're always we just like to let the conversation flow here at Triple Captain Towers. So first one is from FPL King at the Fantasy King 2. I think I'm in his mini league this season. Are FPL managers who are considering going without Salah 100% batshit crazy, or can you see the method behind the madness with, say, covering him with the likes of TAA and Robbo?
I mean, obviously, it's so much money to spend on Mo Salah, isn't it? But, I mean, yeah, it's such a risk not picking Salah or Mane. I mean, he's in my draft. I don't know about you.
Yeah, he's in my draft. He's never been out of my draft. He's one of the only players that I've put in every single time. And yeah, I think, no, you know, nobody going without him's not batshit crazy. And you can spread that 12 million around very, very nicely, I'm sure. But for me, I don't want to be watching Liverpool against Leeds on that first game of the season without owning the best player in FPL over the last three seasons. I know De Bruyne beat him last season, but obviously he didn't start the final game, and Liverpool had won the league very early. So I think Salah remains the best FPL option. So
yeah,
he'll certainly be in my team. Yeah,
and he consistently scores as well. All right, he might have a few like dry weeks or whatever, but he's always going to be 20 plus goals pretty much, isn't he? So when you're coming up against a newly promoted team at Anfield, the first game of the season, you've got to have Salah in, surely, for game week one.
Yeah, I think that answers that one. At FPL Tips, our friend of the podcast, yeah, Harry, who came on, asked just simply Dele Alli with a laughing face emoji. Okay. So what do we think about Dele Alli, boys?
Oh, what do I think about Dele Alli? God, well, I haven't considered him for my team, so that's, I think, speaks volumes, because obviously there's just so many more better options in that Spurs squad. I mean, Ben, I think you've got Son in your first draft, haven't you? Or you did last time we spoke, anyway.
For game week one, I've also got 1.5 in the bank, and I'm swapping him straight out for Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, yeah, yes,
that's soon, yeah, for game week
that's two. That's a smart thing. Is Alli, what, is he eight and a half?
Eight.
8 million, yeah. So 8 million for Dele Alli. And again, he's a player who just goes through, like, I mean, he could like do one game and get two goals and it'll just be completely unexpected. I don't know. He's a bit too much of a wild choice for me, Dele Alli.
Yeah, I had him for a couple of weeks last year, and it was literally when he was on his real... He had a great few returns, but he's just... Also just can't be arsed some games, can he?
Yeah.
Importantly, guys, do you wet the toothbrush and then toothpaste, or is it toothpaste and then wet the... You haven't seen it yet, Rich.
No, I don't know what you're on about.
That was, of course, a reference to the All or Nothing Spurs documentary. And I think there's been a brief bit of love for Dele Alli after seeing that. And I can see why, you know, watching that documentary does make you want to put Spurs players in your team when
does
you
it?
See the ins and outs. And it does, yeah. And Mourinho comes across very well. You can see why he's so successful. And he kind of, in the first couple of episodes, he has a word with Dele Alli and says, you know, I think if you push yourself a bit more in training, you could be, you know, reach that next level. He says, you've got so much potential. And then, of course, he went on that big scoring run and then he kind of dropped off again. And so who knows this season with Alli? I think 8 million could be an absolute bargain if he hits the ground running. But
yeah,
I think he's too much of a risk to put in from the start. We've taken that question very seriously, despite the irony from FPL Tips. And finally, fantasy football experts at FF Experts on Twitter have asked, with Saliba and Gabriel joining Arsenal, are Arsenal defenders a viable pick for FPL? Good question.
It is. I mean, I think there's better teams out there, but go on. Set your point there, Luke.
Yeah, I've looked at Bellerin. I think at 5 million, he could be a good option. Attacking right back. Arteta does certainly seem to have got them organised and in better form. You know, they beat Liverpool in the Community Shield. They beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final. David Luiz is out injured, so that will probably improve their defence. So I don't know. I think I had Bellerin in a couple of the drafts I've made, but at the moment he's not in my game week one teams. But I will be keeping a close eye on the Arsenal defence, because there's some good value players in there.
Yeah, no, definitely is. I think Fulham is almost like the perfect test for them in the first game as well, because Mitrovic is such a brute of a striker. Like, welcome to the Premier League. You're playing against one of the most aggressive players in the whole division. So, you know, maybe if you keep a clean sheet against Fulham, then you could consider them for the next few weeks. But I just think there's teams out there who are much more likely to keep clean sheets than Arsenal this season. I've seen a lot of people with Tierney in their side. Obviously, he came in towards the end of last season into the starting 11 for Arsenal and looked really good. But I don't know how many goals and assists he get when there's other options out there for him, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, there's a lot of love for Tierney, isn't there? And I think, again, he could be gold if he kicks off and, you know, starts with a couple of assists or even a goal, you know, then people are going to be very, very interested in him. So one to keep an eye on for sure. But I think both of us are in the same boat there. We don't quite want to put our eggs in Arsenal's defensive basket just yet.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm starting with three defenders and there is no Arsenal. There's so many players in that queue ahead of all of Arsenal's defenders. Who's going to make it into my back line? But we'll come on to that a little bit later.
So let's talk new signings briefly.
Yes.
Can we talk Everton first? I think as a big Everton fan, Rich, I think you're a good person to ask. Are you happy with the business that's been done? I mean, James Rodriguez, Alan, the defensive midfielder, Decore now as well.
Yeah.
Anybody you interested in from the new signings, and or does that make other Everton players viable picks?
Yeah, I mean, out of those three, I'd rule out Alan. He's going to be like the defensive one. He doesn't score many goals. He's more of a tackler, more of a player who breaks up play. So I'd ignore Alan. Decore, I think, played quite attacking for Watford. I think you were saying to me, actually, wasn't he? He played number 10 at the end of last season for them. I don't see him naturally as a number 10 kind of player. Maybe that was just because, you know, Watford didn't have many options and, you know, they had, how many managers did they have again? I can't remember, 12, something like that. But they had so many managers last season and nobody really knew where to play him. But I think for Carlo Ancelotti, he kind of sees him as like a midfield three with Gomez and Alan, maybe. Not too similar to how Chelsea play, I think. So yeah, you could see him going forward, getting a few goals. I mean, at the end of the season, I could probably see him maybe being on like 4, maybe 5, something like that at push. I can't really see him getting loads. I don't know. I don't really see him as going to be the kind of threat going forward. I could see Andre Gomez getting more than him, to be honest. But out of all of them, I think James Rodriguez. Like, I have no idea how Everton managed to sign James Rodriguez. Like, it's there was a tipping point last season where we looked like we were going to get David Moyes. And then all of a sudden, Carlo Ancelotti became available. And that has just changed our like transfer business. Like, there's no way we would have brought Rodriguez to Everton if we had David Moyes as our manager. But Rodriguez is the most exciting one, but he's not really proven it so much over the past few years. Everyone obviously remembers him from his time playing for Colombia, scoring that absolute worldie of a goal in 2014 against Uruguay. And if we can replicate any of that kind of form that he put in that World Cup, then he'll be an absolutely top player. He was kind of like in and out of Real Madrid over the past year or so. I don't think he was really one of Zidane's first picks on the team sheet, which is why he had time away at Bayern Munich and that sort of thing under Ancelotti. But if anyone can get the best out of him, it's 100% going to be Carlo Ancelotti. And I think he's £7.5 million, Rodriguez. So he could be quite cheap. And one of the main selling points for him, for some reason, was that he's got 48 million Instagram followers, which is more than Everton, Man United and Liverpool. But he didn't score some goals and, you know, get some assists and that sort of thing. That's why we're buying him, right? Not for his followers. But out of those three, he could be the most viable. But I still think the most value for money Everton player is probably Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think he's more than what he was last season, but he's still only 7 million, which is still pretty decent.
Do you think that all those new signings and all the midfielders are going to lead to DCL getting more goals? Like, what was the problem last season? Because loads of people had it.
He can't finish.
Was it the service or was it the finish?
He can't finish. He's got to improve his finishing, hasn't
he? Yeah, he's not a natural goal scorer. Like when we had Lukaku, like literally just give him the ball and he'd bang it in. He was such a natural finisher. And you can see that now with like Greenwood coming through and stuff. Like it just comes to him naturally. Whereas Calvert-Lewin's always been like a unit, like a good athlete, but never like the natural finisher. So, you know, I think with, you know, Richarlison, if we're playing a 4-3-3 with Richarlison on one side, Calvert-Lewin in the middle and James Rodriguez on the other side, like he can't complain about the service when you got those players either side of you. What about what are the new signings? Who else has signed? Oh, Chelsea's probably a good place to start.
I mean, where do we begin? Havertz, Ziyech. Obviously, we discussed Werner in the last pod. Ziyech is apparently out for game week one.
All right, okay.
So, but you like Kai Havertz, don't you, Rich?
Oh, honestly, I mean, I don't know. I really hope he replicates what he did in Germany and England because, honestly, watching him for Leverkusen over the last couple of years in the Bundesliga, he is so talented. Like the most unbelievably skillful footballer I think I've seen in like years, especially for like such a young lad as well. And I mean, what did they pay for him? Like 70 million, something like that. They paid a lot of money for him. So he's currently in my draft. The only concern is, do they throw him in for the first game in the starting lineup? That's always the issue with the new signings and stuff, isn't it? But, you know, he's done it. He gets goals, he gets assists, he's up and down. Like, I don't know why Lampard wouldn't start him, especially when they spent so much money on him. And now we see, like...
Is he a goal scorer, Rich?
He's a goal scorer, yeah. He's a goal scorer. He kind of played as like a winger over the last couple of years for Leverkusen. And he had... Who was the other guy he had at Leverkusen? Voller or something like that up front. Like a big fella up front. So it'll be a different kind of striker in the former Timo Werner that he'll have. But, you know, with those two, you know, being the same nationality, playing in the same league... You know, presumably spending a lot of time together, coming over at the same time, they could have like a nice little partnership on the go. Maybe, who knows? I've seen a lot of people get Werner in the team more than Havertz actually, but if you ask me, like Havertz is the one who's going to do more because technically he looks much better than Timo Werner. But it's just exciting to be a Chelsea fan at the moment, isn't it? Because they're signing so many players of high value and high skill.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement around Werner, especially, isn't there, within the community. So it's going to be interesting to see how he starts. I haven't had him actually in any of my drafts because I think if you put Werner in, it means you've got to put either Mitrovic or someone like Shea Adams in for six rather than like a 6.5. And I just don't really want to do that. So we'll obviously discuss our game week one teams in a minute, but I've gone for proven consistent players rather than a new signing.
Yeah.
But you know he's got all the tools, hasn't he, to get off to a flyer. So yeah. If he does, I'll be bringing him straight in if I can. You know, but at the moment I haven't got any Chelsea players in my team.
Haven't you? It's so hard.
I think that's a mistake. You know, I think Chelsea are going to have an absolutely stunning season.
They look exciting, like, don't they? On paper,
they do. They haven't strengthened at the back, apart from Chilwell, who is obviously a good player, but he's not exactly going to make them keep clean sheets. They haven't replaced Kepa yet, no. So it could be leaky. But then obviously, yeah, they could be scoring 4 or 5 goals a game, couldn't they?
Yeah.
So I looked at Pulisic as well. I think Pulisic is a really good option still. But yeah, I haven't got any Chelsea players in at the moment. They're a wait and see for me.
Yeah.
See how long it takes them to gel.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've got a feeling this season as well, because Chelsea have probably got like the most depth out of any squad in the Premier League. So I think Chelsea could be last season's Man City, where we don't know whether Mount's going to start. We don't know whether Pulisic's going to start. Like, we don't know whether it could be Abraham, could be Giroud, could be Werner. Like, they've got options, Chelsea. You know, this could be a season where you know, we have no idea who's going to play for Chelsea week in, week out, which is, again, another horror reason why I've got Havertz. Just to go back to Havertz for a second, he's got 36 goals and 25 assists in 118 appearances in the Bundesliga. Obviously, a lot of them when he was a kid and coming on and stuff, but he does both, goals, assists, and obviously he's going to be down as a midfielder. You'd like to think that Chelsea should be able to keep, you know, at least 10 clean sheets or something this season. But yeah, who else has signed? Just trying to think.
Well, Newcastle have got a bit mad, haven't they?
Oh yeah, the past week. Brought in Ryan Fraser on a free transfer and 20 mil.
Callum Wilson for 20 mil. And they've got Jamal Lewis as well from Norwich, the fullback. Mm. So any love for them? I mean, the thing with Newcastle is their pricing is so attractive.
Yeah.
You know, Wilson at 6.5 solved all sorts of problems for me.
It really has, honestly.
All sorts of problems because I was looking at... I'm looking at Danny Ings. I was looking at, you know, Danny Ings, Jimenez, Martial, that kind of bracket for one of my strikers, and then the other was like 6.5.
Yeah.
And I like Chris Wood at Burnley, but obviously they don't play first game week, and then suddenly Newcastle signed Callum Wilson, proven goal scorer in the Prem. I have to say, like he's got decent amount of points per 90.
Does
he didn't play that well last season. But interestingly, that was the season where Fraser said he wanted to leave Bournemouth and was kind of left out the team, and then Bournemouth got relegated.
Yeah.
Fraser and Wilson combination, I mean, they were great in 18-19, those two. Nobody assisted each other more than those two, I don't think, in 18-19. Yeah, so, I think it's exciting for Newcastle.
Yeah, it saves, it does really, like you say, all the options there, like I think they're good value, even Lewis at 4.5 million. Like, you know, he looked a decent player when he played in that woeful Norwich side. And like at 4.5 million, like there's so many options at 4.5 million who are absolute garbage. And I think for a lad who's going to be starting presumably pretty regularly, considering how much money they spent on him and that sort of thing, you know what, he could be an option. I've got Kyle Walker-Peters in at the moment for Southampton, but that could easily be transferred into Jamal Lewis. So I don't know. But yeah, I've got Wilson in my team as well, just because he's done it before and he's saved me such a headache. I'm so glad he came in, because now I've got a bit of a stronger midfield. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in. Callum Wilson. He's in the squad for sure.
Yeah, and they start with fixtures against West Ham and Brighton, who Wilson loves a goal against both of those as well.
So get him in your teams.
The omens are good. Proven goal scorer. He's done it in the Prem before. You know, new sign in for Newcastle. He'll want to get off the ground running. There's a good energy around them at the moment.
Yeah.
So I agree. He's in my team at the moment. So yeah. Has Ollie Watkins got a price yet, Ben?
6 million.
Interesting.
That could be a choice.
What are we thinking really about him? Top scorer in the Championship last season. I haven't seen him play, but good signing for Villa, yeah?
Oh, over the moon with it. I think Matty Cash, our other signing's good too. We haven't really done much else, but I don't think we need to do much else. There's talk about Romero coming to Villa, but that's kind of gone a bit quiet. But no, I like Watkins. Like, I think 6 million quid as well. Like, what a great price for him.
No, you're right. Yeah.
I think we're going to have a better season, Villa. We definitely are going to have a better season. So I'd say, yeah, option. Definitely. Obviously, it's just annoying that they miss game week one.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing. And like, I always think, oh, yeah. Grealish, 7 mil, he could be all right. Oh, he's not playing, is he? Like, it goes through my head like all the time.
England's Jack Grealish.
Yeah. I heard the Villa were in for Martinez from Arsenal, the goalkeeper.
Yep, I heard that as well. And then that's gone quiet.
Oh, has it? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
He'd be a good signing.
10 million quid they were talking about, which doesn't seem like enough for him, does it?
That'd be quite a little snip that. Speaking of other new signings, Leeds have just signed that Rodrigo from Valencia. He's in at 6 million quid. Presumably he's going to lean their line, considering they spent so much money for him. I know they got Bamford, but do you reckon you'd be sniffing around him at all, Rodrigo? I was just looking at his stats. He only got 4 league goals last season.
So. Yeah, I don't like his goal scoring record. I had a little look, and he's just, I mean, throughout his career, he's never really hit the heights goals wise. I mean, maybe they've bought him for different reasons, but yeah, he's not really on my radar at the moment. He'll be a wait and see, very much like Watkins.
He's got 8 and 23 for Spain though, which is all right, don't you think? If he could,
yeah, goal every three games for a 6 mil striker. That's not too bad.
Yeah,
not too bad.
Any other new signings? Trying to think of United side.
Donny van der Beek.
Yeah, Donny van der Beek. Are we going to call him VDB? Is that what we're going to call him? Or DVDB? I'm confusing myself now.
Donny van der Beek. Yeah, DVDB.
DVDB, yeah. We're going to get him VDB. In.
Sounds like a haulage company or something.
Yeah, he's come in at 7 million. And I presume that's because he's got quite a decent goal scoring and assist record. I think the thing with him is, though, it's more than likely he's going to be playing alongside Pogba.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised as well to see a little bit of rotation early on between, you know, now we've got Matic, McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, all in those midfield positions. So I think there might be a bit of rotation, but I think he'll probably be starting alongside Pogba with Bruno further forward. And to be honest, I think he will be tasked with, he's a box-to-box midfielder, but I think he'll be tasked with defensive duties. So,
yeah.
But very similar now to what Matic or McTominay or Fred does alongside Pogba, because Pogba's strongest asset certainly isn't defending.
No.
So I'm not, I mean, he might get off to a flyer, but I don't think I'm interested just yet in van der Beek. But I think he's a fantastic signing for United.
Yeah, definitely. Is that going to give Pogba a bit more freedom going forward then, do you think? So do you think Pogba could actually be a viable option this season?
It could, but I don't think so, because you could say the same with Matic or McTominay or Fred playing there. Does that mean Pogba will get further forward? And it seems like he's pretty much decided what he wants to do, which is a little bit of a shame, because really, you know, you want Pogba going forward.
So we'll see. All right, so let's talk about our game week one drafts. Obviously, we've still got about 24 hours or so before. What have we got? It's Thursday evening. When's the deadline? I can't remember when it is. This is bad.
Saturday.
It'll be 11 a.m. Saturday. Remember, the deadline is 90 minutes before kickoff now, rather than an hour. So it'll be 11 a.m. Saturday, because Arsenal kick off against Fulham. at 12:30 after Saturday afternoon.
All right, I'm definitely going to get caught out by that. But I think that's quite a good thing, so I just need to get a team and stick with it. Anyway, let's go through our teams. How we're going to do this, we're going to talk about our goalkeeper selections, our defensive selections, our midfield selections, and our attacking selections. If I ask you first then, Luke, who have you gone in goal for your current draft squad?
So, two goalkeepers. Of course, I've gone for Matt Ryan from Brighton, and I've gone for Nieland from Aston Villa for $4 million. I think Ben can confirm this. I think Nieland is set to start, providing Villa don't get another keeper in before the start of the season. Heaton's still out injured. Obviously, they don't play game week one. But do you think Nieland will play first few games?
If we don't get someone else in, but they are obviously looking.
Priority, isn't it?
They obviously want someone else, yeah.
Great. I mean, and they rotate quite nicely. I mean, Ryan starts off against Chelsea, obviously a hard fixture, but could get some save points there.
Yeah.
Then they play Newcastle, which is obviously a decent fixture. Then they play United, but Villa play Fulham, so I could play Nieland against Fulham.
Nice.
Then Ryan plays Everton and then Crystal Palace. So not bad to start with. And then West Brom. So first six fixtures, pretty good. I think he just shades it for me over McCarthy from Southampton out of the 4.5s. And I don't want to risk starting with a newly promoted goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, that's always going to happen, isn't it? I mean, I'm pretty much the same. I've got Nieland and as one of my choices. And then I've gone McCarthy just because I think their fixtures are ever so slightly easier. Crystal Palace, for me, I don't think... Obviously, last season, they weren't great going forward. I'm hoping, for my fantasy points' sake anyway, they'll be the same. So that's why I've got McCarthy in. But again, it was Ryan at the start of the day. And this afternoon, I put in McCarthy. So that could well change again before Saturday. And yeah, it's got to be one of them, surely, unless you want like a premium goalkeeper. I don't know why you go for anybody in the middle of the road. I actually haven't considered any new goalkeepers. There's Kessié at Leeds. He's meant to be quite good, isn't he?
No idea.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I mean, they've got Liverpool. They got Liverpool first game of the season. So, I mean, you'd be a bit mad to have, you know, a Leeds goalkeeper in anyway, wouldn't you? What about you, Ben?
I've gone McCarthy and Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, you got McCarthy rotate. And Ryan. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Like, rotate them.
Is that like have them in for the season sort of thing? You could just pick and change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, I want my points to come from. Like goalies, you know, yeah, great if they keep a clean sheet, but it's all much of a muchness at the end of the season with goalies, isn't it? Like, in terms of the number of points they've got.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really...
Like, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, premium or 4.5.
Yeah, like, there was so many within, like, 15 points of each other last season. Like, so, you know, I don't think it matters too much in terms of goalkeepers. But there you've got options, obviously, to, you know, if Southampton have got City at home and Brighton have got, you know, Fulham at home or something like that, like... You know, it's an easy transfer to make, isn't it?
Yeah, Ryan and McCarthy rotate really well, I think. It's just whether you want to risk it. It's whether you want to risk it. I was stung. I think lots of people have been stung by that in the past where, you know, they'll pick the obvious choice and then, you know, the other goalkeeper will end up saving a penalty against United or something like that, you know.
Always,
So you have got that risk. But it worked really well for me in the season I finished top 10K. I rotated keepers to start with and it went really well. So I'm certainly not against it, but I just prefer to save that 0.5. And I will actually play Nieland in that game week 3 fixture against Fulham if I can. So
All right, so that's goalkeepers then. We're all doing something ever so slightly different already. This is a good start. What about your defenders? Five defenders. Who have you picked, Luke?
So five defenders. I've gone for Trent Alexander-Arnold, of course. Don't think we need to speak too much about him. I've gone for three 4.5 defenders. I've gone for Kyle Walker-Peters at Southampton. I've gone for Charlie Taylor at Burnley. And I've gone for Jamal Lascelles at Newcastle. My $4 million defender choice is Ben Johnson at West Ham. I think he's got probably the most chance of starting out of the four defenders, apart from probably Mitchell at Crystal Palace, but Van Aanholt is back. Will be back in probably the first, maybe game week 3 and 5. So I think Mitchell is a transfer out further down the line.
Right, okay.
Whereas I think Ben Johnson's got a chance of starting and getting minutes throughout the whole season. So I'm sticking with him for now. Lascelles and Walker-Peters and Taylor can all kind of... I'm going to play three at the back. but I've got a sub defender there, that a sub starting defender that can always come on. So I can rotate between Walker Peters, Taylor and Lascelles, depending on who's got the best, the best fixtures. I played about with 2 4-million defenders for that extra price, but I just don't really want to risk having 2 4-million defenders on the bench when none of them are kind of really nailed to start. So that's me at the moment. What about you?
Okay. Again, like you, I've done Walker Peters and Charlie Taylor of Burnley, but then I've gone for Tyreek Mitchell of Palace, just because of the Van Aanholt thing. I don't know how long Van Aanholt would be out for. So that's why I've got Mitchell in at the moment. But it's a toss-up with him and Bernardo at Brighton. I think they've just brought in Lamptey, who could well be the first choice right back now, but I think Bernardo was going to be like the first choice right back. So that's why I've gone with Mitchell now. But I might well consider Bernardo if he starts in the next game. But then I've gone for 2 premium defenders. Shock horror. I've gone for TAA, obviously, got to get him in, £7.5 million quid right there. And then I've gone for Van Dijk. This is purely because I was looking at my midfield options and I was thinking like £6.5 million. The best value for £6.5 million is Virgil van Dijk. Like, that's why I've got him in, because there's nobody in midfield at that price who will score as many points as Virgil van Dijk, I don't think. So that's why I brought him in. And, you know, presumably Liverpool are going to have another cracking start to the season. So, yeah, I'll probably play the three defenders, van Dijk, TAA and Walker Peters for the first game week, I think. But, yeah, that's me. What do you think about van Dijk?
Yeah, I can't really go far wrong with him. I think double Liverpool defence. Yeah, not as many will be doing it this season as last season, so you could get a leg up on the competition. I'm certainly not against it.
Cool. And what about your defence there, Ben?
I'm playing 3. TAA, Jamal Lewis at Newcastle and Walker Peters. And I've got Williams from Liverpool and Douglas from Leeds on the bench. Nothing really there to talk about that we haven't already covered. I'm not sure that I want to... I think there's going to be a lot of goals, and I don't know why I say that, but like, I don't think we're going to see as many clean sheets this season. Like, I can't, with double Liverpool at the back, I can't see Liverpool getting as many with such strong
attacking
strikers
teams.
In terms of like attack. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Arsenal look better, Chelsea look better. There's so many teams that look better this season than they did last season. I only want 3 at the back.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, arguably game week 2, Chelsea game week 3, Arsenal. Are they going to keep clean sheets in those games? Who knows? But I think over the course of the season, you can't go wrong with TAA and Van Dijk. And I think the more players that you've got in your team that you don't think you can see yourself transferring them out further down the line, the better.
All right, let's have a look at midfield then. Who have you gone for, Luke?
Midfield, the big guns.
Yeah, that's where the money is.
Salah and Aubameyang, pretty straightforward choices there. They've got the option to, obviously, with those two, I can move them quite easily to Sterling, De Bruyne, Bruno. Then I've gone for... The next three positions are the ones... the next three midfielders are the ones that I keep changing around and moving around. At the moment, I've got Heung-min Son... I've got Harvey Barnes and I've gone for Alan Saint-Maximin.
Saint-Maximin, at the start of last season, I was telling you all, wasn't I? He's an exciting player, but I've seen him in so many people's drafts now. And now I feel like I'm on the other side of the fence because he just, I don't know, he didn't produce enough last season for me. He obviously looked, he's always exciting and he looked great at the end of last season, but he's going to have to seriously step up his goals and his assists compared to last season till he gets anywhere near my team.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is the price points for me, and I'm pretty much always left with... I've played around with loads of different combinations, and I wanted money in the bank left over in order to move players. It just gives me more freedom because of that, the blank for City and United in game week 1.
Yeah.
So the 5.5 million midfield position was kind of always there. So you've got Saint-Maximin or you've got Armstrong for Southampton, but he's now ruled out of Southampton's opening.
Oh, is he?
Game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So that's an easy decision really for me. So it's like, okay, Saint-Maximin is in. And The other option, of course, was Doucouré coming in for Everton.
Yeah.
And so I may go back to him because I've just realised I've now got triple Newcastle, which fills me with horror. So I may go to Doucouré. But yeah, and Harvey Barnes is a little bit of a placeholder for me. I liked him last season, and he started every pre-season friendly for Leicester. So I presume he's going to be first choice. Yeah. I hope so.
And you had him,
I'm sure he will.
You had him quite a lot last season as well, didn't you?
Scored, I had him when he scored those two goals. Yeah, so I'm hoping that's a good decision. And just around that price bracket as well, I think he's the best option for now until, you know, I can get the likes of Greenwood and you know, players like that. So yeah, that's my midfield at the moment. A couple of dodgy ones in there, but that's what's going to happen.
It's the excitement. What about you? It's the excitement of game week one. No one knows what the hell's going to happen and who's going to start and that sort of thing. So my midfield, like you, Aubameyang and Salah, straight in there. The premium big bucks been spent there. Then I've got three midfielders. I got Kai Havertz in £8.5 million. Admittedly, an expensive gamble, but he's done it in the Bundesliga. I can't see him not starting when they paid that much money for him. But then I've got two players who are guaranteed to start for their team. So I've got Tom Kearney of Fulham for £5.5 million. And I've got Mark Noble of West Ham, Mr. Reliable from the penalty spot in my team. And that's pretty much the only reason I've got Mark Noble in my team. And yeah, Kearney, I mean, I was looking at the stats of players who are coming up. I was looking at the West Brom wide lads like Pereira, and they've just signed Grady Diangana on a full-time transfer as well. And both of them look great, but I don't know. It's going to be the tossing and turning in the night. Who am I going to pick? Whether it's going to be Kearney or whether it's going to be Diangana or Pereira. They're all similar kind of prices. But I've just gone for Kearney because he's the reliable one, and I can see Arsenal being that team which kind of crumble against the newly promoted side for the first game. I don't know. It's pure gut feeling and an indecision which has brought me to that decision. But yeah, I don't think there's many people who have picked him. 0.4%. So who knows? That could be an absolutely brilliant pick for me. But yeah, that's my solid five. And I'm going to play all of them as well, I think, in a 3-5-2, just because they're guaranteed to start and at least get me 2 points, I guess. What about you, Ben?
I'm going 3-5-2 as well. Salah, Aubameyang and Son, although Son is changing out to Bruno. And I've gone Doucouré and Fraser, because I do like that kind of Fraser-Wilson double-up thing.
That could be a shout.
So yeah, I've gone big on three premiums, basically, for midfield.
Yeah. Cool. Now, Fraser's absolutely a shout. What was his price?
Six.
Yeah. Pretty good.
That is decent.
Tempting.
Like, I mean, I wish Lallana was six. I really wanted Adam Lallana, but he's 6.5. But I think he's going to have a great... I think I said that on the last podcast. I think he's going to have a great season at Brighton. But yeah, I think Fernandez for me is a must. We haven't really talked about him much at all, but I think he's going to be United's KDB. Like, he's going to be involved in everything that United do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that money there to move Son to Bruno or Aubameyang to Bruno straight down if need be. I think it will probably depend on who starts better, really. Aubameyang plays Liverpool game week 3, then Sheffield United, then City, then Leicester, then United, I think. So after game week 2, Arsenal's fixtures really do take a bit of a dip. So Aubameyang's kind of that perfect player to have in for Fulham and West Ham, and then you can just take him out for Sterling, KDB, Bruno, whoever you want. So he's the perfect player to have in at the start. And yeah, as I say, I've got that 1.5 in the bank to move Son to Bruno if I wanted to keep Aubameyang, perhaps,
that's
or
so
move
Aubameyang
to somebody
that's
different.
So helpful, yeah, to have that spare money in the bank. But when you're making your first draft, you think, I've got to spend all that money. Like one of the lads who I just met at the pub, he made his draft and he had four players who aren't even playing in this game week. I'm like, come on, this was me a few years ago, but it's not now.
That's it, yeah.
Now I'm like, do I have Tyreek Mitchell or do I have Kyle Walker-Peters? That's the decisions I have now. Unattractive decisions you have to make.
Cool, should we move on to forwards?
Yes. So who have you got? Who are your three?
I've got Danny Ings, I've got Callum Wilson, and Brewster of Liverpool, just a placeholder. Hopefully he gets a move. If not, I can see him kind of getting, starting to get minutes for Liverpool. He's had some minutes in pre-season. There's a lot of excitement around him.
Yeah, there is.
If he gets a loan move to a Premier League club, obviously he'll stay at 4.5. So could be a great option. So he's my bench fodder. Danny Ings and Callum Wilson. Again, I've played around with lots of different combinations, and that's who I've ended up on. I think Ings will carry on his form, and we've spoken about Callum Wilson as a new signing for Newcastle. So yeah, they're my two at the moment.
So are you not tempted at all by Harry Kane? Because that's who I've got leading the line for me.
Yes, I was very tempted by him. The problem with putting Kane in any of the drafts that I did, just didn't have either the players or the price to be able to move to Bruno, KDB, etc.
Yeah.
As easily as I can with my current plan.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, Kane is so tempting for me. I think Spurs fixtures have start off really well. I've got Son in there, so hopefully Son can kind of match Kane at the start. But we'll see. I think Kane's a great option.
Yeah, definitely. But Ings, I hope he's not that player that season, because like I dropped him for a couple of weeks last season and he banged. Like he absolutely delivered. So game week one, if Ings delivers, because he's presumably going to be owned by like what, 30%, something like that. And he's such a player to miss out on if he gets two goals. Like, I'm behind so early on. But yeah, he's one who I did have in for a long time. But then Wilson came along, and that's been the change for me. Brought Wilson in for Danny Ings. So yeah, my front three is Wilson, Kane, and I've got young Davis of Aston Villa. Do you reckon he'll get anywhere near the starting 11, Ben?
No. Oh, come on. He'll have minutes, and Smith likes him, but I don't think he'll start for us anymore. Yeah. He was only starting because Samatta and is rubbish, and Wesley's out. So.
Yeah. I mean, again, like he's just kind of there just making up the numbers, that sort of thing. I'd have Brewster, but I've got triple Liverpool at the moment anyway, so that's kind of screwed me over a little bit. But yeah, I think Brewster's probably the smartest out of those £4.5 million strikers. Who else is there actually? Let's have a quick look.
There's not really anyone else. There's like Connor Wickham and someone called Vasilev, I think. That's about it.
Who's Vasilev, Ben?
He's Villa as well. He's Villa. Yeah, he's an American lad. He sounds like he's from Russia, I think. He's,
Indiana Vasilev.
Yeah, you know what? Apparently one for the future. Like, a lot of excitement around him, but he hasn't actually really done much yet. Like, he came on very briefly.
Yeah.
Towards the end of last season. Yeah. But
I mean, yeah, that's like a bracket that's always like interesting to keep an eye on. Because like, as the season goes by and, you know, teams start to dip into their academies and that sort of thing, like the youngsters who come through sort of get given that £4.5 million rating, don't they? Like, we had young Branthwaite come through last season, and Gordon, who came through quite cheap, and they start to get quite a lot of minutes at the end of the season. But yeah, want to keep an eye on. Who have you got up front then, Ben?
I've gone for Werner. Nice. Half owned now, like 48%.
Is
or something ridiculous today.
Fucking
yeah.
Hell.
Wow.
Werner, I've gone Wilson, and then Davis on the bench.
Oh,
but
man.
But starting Werner and Wilson.
Yeah.
Werner and Wilson. Werner and Wilson are leading the line, which I'm pretty happy with. I wasn't sure about Werner, but actually he's had a good pre-season, and he's going to want to come on and bang in the Premier League, yeah, isn't he? Like, I'm just jumping on board with it. And I think it would just be too damaging if he does come on and have a really good start and then you haven't got him with half ownership.
The thing is, if he doesn't have a good start, because of that high ownership as well, his price will drop if people sell him. So yeah, on the one hand, you're protecting yourself, but on the other, and what's good about what's good about not having him in is that because his ownership's so high, if you want to get, his price is unlikely to rise very quickly because he's already got such high ownership. So I've got that money in the bank there that if he bangs and I'm like, oh my God, I have to get him in, I can just move Danny Ings straight up to Werner.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, like, the only thing with Werner for me that worries me, obviously he's a great footballer and he scores a lot of goals, but he was scoring a lot of goals in the Bundesliga. And you look at the teams in the bottom half of the Bundesliga compared to the bottom half of the Premier League, they're so much weaker in the Bundesliga, like Union Berlin and Paderborn and that sort of thing. Like, you know, it's so much harder to score goals in the Premier League. And it's a proper gamble. And I can't believe that many people are gambling on him. But he's out of everyone who's been signed this summer, like, he is like the new signing who I think is like, you know, getting everybody excited, which I think it should be Havertz, but more people are getting excited about Werner. But, you know, hopefully he delivers for you, mate.
So yeah, so that's our game week one teams.
Yeah. Have we got any names? Have you got your name? Who's your name for your team? What did you decide on?
Oh, it's just...
Always Benfica for me, always.
Benfica.
Boring, but I don't care.
I'm triple captain podcast is my
hell
team.
Yeah.
Nice, good bit of promo there.
Represent.
Imagine you finish first in the world and it's triple
exactly.
captain podcast. Imagine
exactly.
how many listeners we get. Imagine.
Exactly. And what's yours, Rich?
My team is called Harry's Big Night Out after Maguire's
very good.
Maguire's
very
antics
good.
In Greece. So, you know. Cool. So I guess all this have to say is follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @TripleCaptain3. This season, we're going to be more on board with Instagram. We're going to be getting our teams up there in advance so you can see our drafts with your very own eyes. And as always, you two are absolutely smashing it with Twitter, answering questions and that sort of thing.
I don't do it anymore, yeah. mate.
It's all Luke. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Then. So
unbelievable. Great effort.
Got any questions? Fire them over at @TripleCaptain3 and Mr. Luke Jerdy will answer any queries that you have.
We haven't spoken about captain. I am on Mohamed Salah.
I am at the moment on Mohamed Salah, but that could so easily change over to Aubameyang. So we'll see. It's either or. I've seen a few people put it on TAA, but I don't know. That's a bit too far for me.
I've gone out Aubameyang.
Yeah. It's got to be a midfielder, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Kane, I think, has scored 2 goals in 4 of his last 5 appearances against Everton. So that could well be a little sly captain's armband right there. But I can't do that, unfortunately.
Good luck, everybody, and enjoy the season. Our league code, the Triple Captain Mini League code, is...
The code rolls off the tongue, XLCX4H.
Wow.
But it'll be in... we'll put it on Twitter and everything and Instagram too.
Yeah, great.
Cool.
Great.
Get on it.
Yeah, look forward to more interaction this season with everybody and, enjoy it.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like, give me some good news.
Hello, I'm stand-up comedian Nathan Caton, and this is my podcast, Give Me Some Good News. While there's so much doom and gloom in the mainstream media, this podcast is all about positivity. Every week, me and my co-host, radio presenter Rich Wolfenden, invite a comedian onto the podcast and ask them to give us some good news. Like the moment Jason Manford felt like a hero.
In front of me, a workman pulls out and bang, knocks over a cyclist. People are trying to help him, but of course, social distancing, what are the rules? Everyone's confused. I tested positive for COVID. I had it back in March and I've been tested positive for the antibodies. Honestly, I felt like Superman. I come out of that mark, I've got the antibodies, back away.
Russell Kane bragged to us about his lockdown cooking skills.
I swear to God, for lunch today, I had a pork tenderloin that I hammered flat and some scotch bonnet, which I'm addicted to, in there. And I just served that char-grilled. I mean, you do pay bumhole tax the next day, but it's so worth it.
And Joe Lycett told us about the rules on sexual relationships during quarantine.
You can now have sex with somebody, but you have to wear a face mask. That's what I've seen.
What?
And that's good news for me because when I've had a drink, my standards get lower. And actually, a face covering wouldn't be a bad idea sometimes.
Give me some good news. The brand new podcast with me, Nathan Caton.
Give me some good news with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.